Imagine the dilemma for a small town school principal. Your roles are shrinking. You used to have 500 students at your elementary school. That's now down to 120. And that means the amount of funding you get has shrunk as well. If you don't do something soon, your school may close altogether and the kids in your town will have to be bused across city lines to go to classes somewhere else. Bake sales obviously won't cut it. And then you discover that some international students, kids from China, Korea, Europe, are willing to pay thousands of dollars to fill one of those empty desks. So what do you do? Well, if you're Skip Holtz, he's superintendent of Newcomb Central School District in Newcomb, New York. That's an easy decision. Skip, thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome. Good morning.
You're one of the first public school administrators in the U.S. to recruit abroad. First of all, how much does your school district get for a foreign student that comes in and takes a place in a public school?
Well, I think you have to realize for us, it's a little bit different than some school districts. Our biggest issue that we were facing was just a total lack of diversity. So we were looking at more, first and foremost, the issue of diversity and having an underutilized school that our classrooms were empty, period. So we had empty classrooms, we had a lack of diversity, so we went into this slowly as far as financially goes. We have one of the lowest rates in the country. Ours for next year will be $9,000, $4,500 for tuition, and $4,500 for housing. We have looked at this as a longer-term program. We did not know back then, again, you're right, we were one of the first, so we didn't know what the market would bear. So we started very conservative dollar-wise. But $4,500 still next year will bring us somewhere about $90,000.
Which is a good chunk of change. Not huge, but it's a good chunk
of change. Absolutely. Absolutely, especially when the costs, we don't have costs. Our costs are consumables. Our costs are food, and our costs are field trip because we already have textbooks, desks, the teachers, the staff. We don't have additional expenses because of these students.
But, do you have to find housing for them, right, or is that volunteers?
We find housing, especially when you consider Newcomb has about 425 residents, which means roughly 200 homes, and yet this year I'm housing 13 students.
We're speaking with Skip Holtz, superintendent of Newcomb Central School District in Newcomb, New York, where they recruit abroad. International students come in and pay a fee in order to attend public school here in the U.S. Also with us, Grant Vandervoorst, superintendent of the Grant Dual Schools in Ravillo, South Dakota. And Grant, you have had international students before, but you're now going to experiment with charging them as well. Why?
Well, we're looking at, like Skip says, we're looking at diversity, a way to fund education and bring more to our local students and yet experience the global effect of the global economy around the world, because certainly our world's getting smaller, and if we don't look at things differently, I don't think we're helping our students to be life ready.
But Grant, I'm sure you can understand that for many people, this is an emotional issue. It's a visceral issue to think that perhaps your school is selling its desks, selling its spots in the public school to the highest bidder.
But also, as Skip mentioned, we have room in our school to help educate other students, and I think there's education to be learned from. To us, because if everybody's thinking alike out there, then nobody's really thinking. And I think that's what's hard for some people sometimes, is that this is kind of a broad thought that we're bringing in people from other countries and putting them in our American schools.
Well, that's Grant Vandervoorst. He's superintendent of the Grant Dual Schools in Ravillo, South Dakota. As we mentioned, you already have some international students at your school. And here's a comment from one of them, Amy Wang, a 17-year-old junior who is from a giant industrial city in China, attending school there with you in South Dakota.
In China, it's like if you're good at English, it's much easier to find a job. And so I'm hoping to come back to Grand Dual, the same school as I stay now. And then I will try to find some university here.
So Grant, does Amy Wang now have to pay to come back and graduate from Grant Dual next year?
You know, we're looking at that. She told me that for the first time yesterday, and We also have a young lady from Korea who wants to come back to our school that's been in our international programs before. And I think that's just a testament to what we're doing in our schools. If they want to come back and experience American culture, I think this is a great place to do that, especially in a smaller environment.
That's Grant Vandervoorst of the Grant Dual Schools in South Dakota. Skip Holtz is also with the superintendent of the Newcomb Central School District in New York. So, Skip, I mean, you guys are both talking about diversity. That's something you could achieve by bringing in international students, but without charging them, right? So why charge them?
Well, if you bring them in under the J-1 visa, the J-1 visa is a cultural visa. By the very definition, students are here just to experience culture. The F-1 visa is an academic visa. By very definition, they're here to learn. And there is a very big difference between students who come from a J-1 visa where there is no tuition to a school district and no money for housing. Under the F-1 visa, we have found these students are very academically strong, very academically motivated. And as Grant said, they're also here because they are here to learn, and most of them want to stay. Hence the reason why we're trying to change the F-1 law. The F-1 law does allow students to stay multi-year at a private school, but only 1 year at a public school. I've been working hard for the last 4 or 5 years. And what I've been trying to do is I've been trying to get that law changed. I've been to Washington, D.C. a numerous times, and thank goodness Senator Schumer has been fighting the fight. There is now a bill that's prepared to go on the Senate side, and in New York, it's Congressman Gibson and Owens. They have picked up the battle on the House side. There's a bill ready to go on the House side to change it, to restore the rights to public schools to allow to have these students for more than 1 year.
Well, Grant Vandervoorst, you're there at the Grant Dual Schools in Ravillo, South Dakota. What happens when one of these students that's come in and paid for their spot in your school, say, takes the lead in a school play from an American student, takes a spot on a team, a sports team that a parent here thinks should have gone to their kid? Do conflicts arise?
You know, we've had that because we're a smaller school. We've had students participate in the school play and be successful. I don't know that they actually took somebody's spot. We had a young man that also was interviewed on your radio station yesterday, Pedro, made a significant contribution to our athletic team. And we haven't had a controversy of stealing spots at this point in time, but I can see that the more students that you possibly bring in, that problem could present itself.
Well, let's take a listen to Pedro. This is Pedro Moreno, 16-year-old junior, originally from Madrid, obviously in Spain, now attending your school in Ravillo, South Dakota.
Well, the first month was different. We can call it different, but the school, it's smaller and everything, but the kids are awesome and having lots of fun. The only bad thing that I find is maybe there is not a lot of people, but I'm still having fun. I'm still meeting in the weekends and doing stuff, so I'm busy anyways.
Grant, explain to me how this helps your students. And one of the arguments that your school and other superintendents like Skip have made is that bringing in these students actually improves education for the rest of the kids. How is that possible?
Well, there's a lot of modeling, I guess, that goes on in education. And when I say modeling, we learn by watching and listening. I think our kids have developed better study habits because of their international students. I think their eyes have become open to possibilities in the world that we couldn't have given them locally. And that's when you bring in people from the outside, your ideas change, and I just think that's just strengthened the whole outlook of our student body, and that's the real story with our students, is that they've totally accepted these kids, and you'd think they've been together their whole lives.
Grant Vandervoorst, superintendent of the Grant Dual Schools in Ravillo, South Dakota, and Skip Holtz, superintendent of Newcomb Central School District in Newcomb, New York, both either already charging foreign students to come and attend their schools or planning to do so in the future. Thanks to both of you.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Celeste.
It's an amazing story. Lots of positives, and I can see some controversial parts as well, because you've got these kids coming here. What about the English? How are you doing getting
Well, and
them.
What does that mean for the state of our school districts that the superintendents are put in that position?
That's... And, you know, what about what you call pastoral care? Here are kids from a long way away. How do you look after them? And I can see why they would want to do it. I'm not saying there's any problems in Skip or Grant schools, but you can see if more and more schools do this, there may be some problems. You've been talking to us about jobs and the Great Recession. We talked to people who are advocating moving for work. That sparked a really lively conversation. Duncan from Oregon says, I'd love to move to another state and start a new life, but how? I graduated with a Bachelor of Science, started my own small business. It barely broke even, and now I'm broke. You can get onto 8778-MY-TAKE to tell us what you want, or thetakeaway.org. I'm Dan Damon, in for John Hockenberry. And this is The Takeaway with Celeste Headlee.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.